Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Welcome to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. So here's something I want to get into right now. The Lakers are out of the playoffs. The failed experiment didn't work. Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, that would have worked. But this is kind of just where we are. Listen, the argument about LeBron James and Michael Jordan, the GOAT thing, that's never been a debate for me. It's Michael Jordan, no doubt about it. Has LeBron James ended that debate? You asked the question Monday, Jades. Give you the credit for that. If you were on the fence, or if you were siding with LeBron, I mean, listen, Jordan came back. He had two comebacks, right? People forget about the Washington Wizards stint. But did it feel like he tarnished his career, or were you more, at that point, you were like, damn, after all these years, he's coming back, he's going to give it a shot. His stats, like, he was still averaging, I think, like 15 or 16 points per game. So I don't think he torched his career by doing that at all. The baseball thing, you can make fun of the baseball thing all you want, but if anything, that added to his legacy. I think he quit abruptly to try to achieve a goal after his father died. Couldn't really do it, then came right back and won three more titles. That honestly adds to the legacy. Now, if he would have stuck with it, would he have won one or two more? I think it was two seasons that he was out. Was it two? Did LeBron James switching over to the Lakers, did that tarnish his record or his reputation even more? Again, there's the contingency of fans that if you don't like LeBron James, you're never going to like LeBron James. There's the fans that really love LeBron James, and they're probably going to stick with him no matter what, but is that fan base smaller than it was, say, 5 years ago? Let's go through his career. I mean, when he came into the league, I mean, he absolutely stormed onto the scene, man. He was so good. And we'd never seen anything like it. He was so young, incredible player. He goes to Cleveland, he's the team. He's carrying that team. I mean, he has to do everything for that team. And they go what? Did they make it to one Eastern Conference Finals? I believe so. And, you know, again, nobody really disrespected LeBron. He was a guy that was well on his way to being one of the best ever. Then he does the decision thing. I was in Las Vegas at the time. I remember it vividly because they had it up on the big screens in every casino everywhere. And, I mean, they were taking bets to see where he was going to go. He had the decision. You know, it was a one-hour thing. And then he decided to go to Miami, which was already kind of like, wow, okay. LeBron's doing something. This is not what Jordan would have done. Jordan didn't do this. Jordan didn't join a group. He joined Dwayne Wade. That was Dwayne Wade's team. And then Chris Bosh for Toronto. Chris Bosh at that point was a very good player, was one of the better players. Dwayne Wade was one of the best players in the league. He'd already won a title in Miami. He had Shaq there, remember? So they won a title. LeBron goes and joins that crew. And then they did their little, like, aftermath show where they were showing up in jerseys and they were sitting down taking questions and they did the intro and everything. It was unlike anything we'd ever seen. We didn't really see that. I mean, when players signed with when Kawhi Leonard signed with the Clippers, did we see anything like that? And maybe the Clippers had something like that. I don't know. But what we saw on television was not just the decision, but then we had their little special of them walking out onto stage with their uniforms and these guys are going to change things. And then they sat down with microphones and LeBron answered the questions. And then he said, hey, how many championships are you going to win? LeBron says, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven. We're going to win seven championships. We hadn't seen anything like it. And it was so out of the norm that most people, like me, were annoyed with it. I was annoyed with it. I thought that really messed with his reputation. Then he goes on to do the Charles Barkley type ads, like, I'm not a hero, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, he goes to, in 4 years with Miami, they go to four Eastern Conference Finals. And they win two titles. Hard to say that it was a failure, but when your expectations were seven, and you win two, you can see why. You can see why he was criticized. So then he gets done with Miami, and he sees the writing on the wall there. Okay, Dwayne Wade, who knows where he is in his career. Maybe his time is fading. Chris Bosh is kind of getting done. Okay, I'm going to go back to Cleveland. So he jumps back to Cleveland. Got a young Kyrie Irving there. He recruits Kevin Love over to the team. So he starts his recruiting thing. LeBron has been doing this since he left Cleveland. He will either join forces with teams or he will recruit, and then he sees Kyrie Irving's over in Cleveland. I mean, wasn't either reason, you know, you moved Andrew Wiggins from Cleveland to Minnesota. They were invested in Wiggins. They thought Wiggins was going to be their guy, but then when LeBron shows up, he says, hey, I want to play with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So they work out that deal and get Wiggins. They ship off Wiggins. So LeBron formed another team, another kind of super team. Well, they go and win a title. He gets another one. So he got two with Miami. He comes back and gets one with Cleveland in his second stint. Is it just one? Yeah, it's just one, right? And then you think, okay, finally LeBron's getting maybe some of that reputation back. He's in Cleveland. He's Cleveland's favorite son. It's his home area. Great. He's maybe earning a new reputation again. He even called out and said, you know, I shouldn't have done the decision the way I did it. I shouldn't have done the things I did with Miami the way I did it. And then he leaves Cleveland and goes to the Lakers. I mean, again, you just went right back, if not worse, than what we saw you do with Miami. Now, there wasn't a super team in L.A. just yet, but we know damn good and well LeBron was already scheming the Anthony Davises of the world, the Russell Westbrooks of the world. So LeBron jumps ship. He goes to L.A. First year, what? First year, they don't make the playoffs. Second year, they win in the bubble. Now, is the bubble, are we going to respect it? Did he earn it the way everybody else has earned it? I mean, again, anything about LeBron, it does kind of, everything he's done, we all kind of point to, this is not the way to do it. And then he goes and wins one with the Lakers in the bubble. And then, of course, this year they miss the playoffs. Let's read a couple of texts. You said Chris was talking about hockey earlier. Uh-oh, Brady's going down the hockey hole. Don't forget, blue line, penalty kill, and offsides. What are those? False start? Brady, wow, Dixon coming in hot here. Let's read it. I love it. I think it's going to be good. Oh, you want to talk about, okay, I want to get to your first stuff first, or your first, your Tad Boyle stuff in a moment, because I like that too. Sort of just feels like they're always going to be a bubble team, coach, when it comes to, oh, you're talking about CU all the way. Okay. All right, I'll hit that. I want to hit that. I want to talk about that. Weld County Swami chiming in. I don't think it was him going to the Lakers that did it. It was the very underwhelming performance by the team after the bubble championship. You don't think him moving around kind of slowly but surely dented his career? I mean, Jordan, when you want to compare, Jordan liked Larry Bird. They weren't friends. They'd get together just so they could beat each other. Like, they would golf, and you could tell they didn't, like, they were out to beat each other. Not to have a fun day of golf. They were out to beat each other. There's no way in hell Jordan ever would have joined Larry Bird. The only reason he came back and played with Washington is because they signed him. He didn't join him because he was going to go win a championship. They signed him. Not everybody was looking to get a Michael Jordan that's probably half, if not worse, than what he was when he was with Chicago. Sorry, we're not signing up for that. You don't think that LeBron, over time, doing all this stuff, jumping from Cleveland, joining a super team in Miami, then going back to Cleveland because, ooh, they look... Because think about it. Just think about it on the surface, how bad it looks. He can't win a title in, he can't win a title in Cleveland because he's carrying the team. And I felt bad for him. I really did. Help him. Get him some help. They didn't. So he leaves. Don't necessarily fault him for leaving to go to Miami. It was the optics of everything. It was the decision. It was the recruiting of Chris Bosh. And it was the show they did after the fact. Then he gets his titles with Miami. They lose in the finals. The writing perhaps is... Because then they lose to the Spurs. Because they lost to the Mavericks in the first one. They lost to the Spurs, I believe, right? Well, then he's looking at it going... Well, my time's probably done here. Ooh, Kyrie Irving? That guy? He's good. If I can get another piece over there, boom, there's my another next championship. What a bata! He jumps over there to Cleveland. And they win. It worked. But then he sees that, you know, Kyrie's not really into him. Kevin Love's slowing down. I'm going to get out of here. Kobe's gone from, and again, I'm not going to go into that whole thing. Kobe's gone from L.A., LeBron goes to L.A., and I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it out loud here. Yes, LeBron James certainly was in the drama part of it. He was eating it up with the fans, you know, saying, hey, we had Kobe, and now we've got LeBron, and LeBron's going to, you know, represent Kobe's legacy and all this stuff. And I'm just saying, if you're LeBron, he looked at it yet again and said, bam, I can go there and be even more talked about because it's the Lakers. And then he goes, they win the title in the bubble, and I go back and forth on the bubble. I really do. But let's face it. It's unlike any season we've ever seen. So if you were to put an asterisk on the bubble, I'm not going to argue with you to death. I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're right. I think some teams were ready to be out of there. Unless you're the Phoenix Suns. Google it if you don't know what I mean. Phoenix Suns, what happened in the bubble? Maybe don't Google it. How old are you, Jaden? So I'm just saying, they were in there forever. How long were they in the bubble, away from everything they know? I don't think they let families come in until late. So some teams were just kind of over it. Did that take away from the Nuggets coming back down 3-0 both times? I say no initially, but listen, weird stuff happened in the bubble. No team has ever come back from 3-0 deficits in two series in a row, and the Nuggets did that. Jamal Murray has never played, and again, we didn't get to see him this year, but the year after that, he was not nearly as good as he was when he was in the bubble. Jamal Murray has never been as good as he was than when he was in the bubble. There were no fans there. Did that affect some players? Some players better without fans? Maybe. And then the Lakers go on and win the whole thing. If there is a year you can say gets an asterisk next to it, you would say it's the bubble year when the Lakers won it all. Texter, I don't think his competitiveness comes close to MJ. That's evident by the jumping around. But from a basketball talent, it doesn't damage his reputation. I mean, talent, it is talent. He is that good. He's very good. But the decision-making is going to factor into a lot of that. I mean, if he would have just stayed in Cleveland, would he have won a title ever? If he was still in Cleveland to this day, would the Cavs... Yeah, I think in this day and age of jumping, LeBron could have recruited some players to come to Cleveland. Why not just build it there? I think more respect would have been given out. And, a lot can be said about a guy that sticks with the same team for the majority of his career. It's not the end all be all to me anymore. It's certainly, like Tim Duncan, very well respected. Stayed in San Antonio. They stayed there. They stayed to their big three. They got Kawhi, added their big four. I just look at it and I say, man, any debate that was out there, it's over now. If you really believe LeBron's the GOAT, I mean, how many? I mean, oh, Brady Jordan missed the playoffs early in his career, several years. Yeah, early in his career. After once he figured it out and started dominating people, he never missed it, except for the Washington year. Let me read this text while it's still fresh. Dixon wants to talk about the Tad Boyle thing. Brady, I'll be that guy. With all due respect to Mark and the CU crew, Tad is just a guy. 20 wins is pretty easy if you take a look. Oh, Dixon, 20 wins is not easy. Oh, boy. 20 wins is pretty easy if you take a look at the non-conference schedule, and the conference wasn't even that tough. And they had some really bad losses, Nebraska, Southern Illinois. What about beating Arizona? It's a big one, right? And some other narrow wins like Brown, Montana State. Look at their schedule and find a signature win besides the one against Arizona. Didn't they beat Oregon? Didn't they split with Oregon? 20 wins should be automatic, and quite honestly, if Tad is all that in a bag of chips, getting into the tournament should be a given. He may be a great guy, but at some point, you have to make a splash in the big show and get to the second weekend of the big tournament. So what's your solution? Who are you bringing in that's better than Tad Boyle? I disagree with you 100%. This team, I did not expect to win 20 games. They are a young group. Evan Batty was the only senior, the only real leader on that team, and they were all learning on the fly. Sure, you can't just give him a pass every single year. He's got to get back into the tournament. Let's talk about Tad Boyle in a bit. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We do have our poll question up, our Method Flow Products poll question available at thewholeshow.com. What are your expectations for the Nuggets? Or have they already exceeded your expectations? Have they done enough? So now the playoffs, you go in stress-free, going with house money, nothing to lose because you don't expect anything. 21 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Before we break, Jades, I got a $25 gift certificate to the GOAT. Get out to the GOAT on us. Enjoy the games. Enjoy opening day tomorrow, opening day for the Rockies on Friday. $25 gift certificate. Let's go caller number 6 on the First Advantage hotline. Caller number 6, 970-353-1310 or toll-free 877-353-1310. We'll be right back.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Dixon, Brady, we all know you're the Oprah Winfrey of handing out passes, hall passes. Sounds like Tad is your new boy since Elway's gone. I'll be right about this one in the end, too. A little different there. A little different. Tad Boyle has been to the tournament 5 times. He's been with the Buffs how long? Half his career, or more than half of his time with CU, he goes to the tournament. I mean, look at this. Look at this, though. They were 24-14 in 2010, his first year in the Big 12, and then the Pac 12 is 24-12, 21-12, 23-12, 16-18. So his first four years, he made the tournament 3 out of 4. Then he comes back, goes 16-18. They miss it. The very next year, they go right back, 22-12, 19-15, 17-15, 23-13, 21-11, 23-9. They made it in 2020. And then obviously they went 21-12 this year and missed out. I mean, is that not good? Not for the Pac-12. I mean, Mark's telling us that you have all, you know, Bobby Knight says CU's where coaches go to die, where careers go to die. So if that's true and you move on from Tad, is there any guarantee that you're going to get better? You're going to be better? You also have to think about the optics of the job, too. You can't just go, oh, well, we got to get better. We have to be better. At CU, I mean, in the Pac-12, this is the state of Colorado, bro. This is not a basketball state as much as I want it to be, and I think that we can get there. But this is a football state that has some fun basketball on the side once in a while. It's not a gigantic destination spot for college basketball players, for great college basketball players. So you tell me your solution. What is your solution? The greatest coaches are coaching on the greatest teams. Colorado is not in Duke territory. They will never be. They will be a team that goes to the tournament a couple years, maybe pop in a few times in a row, maybe win a few first round or so. Yeah, the pressure's going to be on to do that for Tad, but CU's not going to dump him. They're not going anywhere. He is part of that establishment. And they'll bounce back next year, and then all the pressure will be right back off. They're going to be a tournament team next year. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's different than John Elway's situation. 6 years of just awfulness. I get it. It was going nowhere. But you say I have the hall passes. It's like you have the mindset of what some of these fans are like, what have you done yesterday? Not even lately. What did you do yesterday? The Buffs were in the tournament last year. And then they missed it this year by a game, probably, right? If it was Oregon State was a really bad loss. If they win that game, they probably get in, or they at least get in by winning a tournament game, which they did, or a Pac-12 tournament game. You're not getting any better than Tad. Eastside Chris says, didn't Tad have a stint in Kansas? Well, he played for Kansas. I don't know that he was on the coaching staff there, but he was pretty damn, I mean, he was a hell of a great high school basketball player. Did enough with Greeley Central to get him over to Kansas. Probably didn't go the way he wanted it to go. Tad's got a phenomenal story, too. I mean, he's 306 and 197. When he was with the UNC Bears for 3 years, took him 3 years. He was 13 and 16, 14 and 18, and then 25 and 8. And then the next year, what happened? UNC went to the big dance. Well, County Swami Dixon has a lot of iffy takes, but this one is horrible. This young team wasn't supposed to do anything, and he made them competitive at least. Like, he should be up for coach of the year for the Pac-12. Honestly, it won't happen because you got to do big things. But if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season where I thought the Buffs were, I would have said 12 to 15 win team. Not even looking at the big dance, not even glancing at it. And they did more than glance at it. I mean, if they would have beat Oregon State, then follow that up and beating Arizona the way they did. And they were competitive in the tournament against Arizona, too. Team got better. It did. It got a lot better over the course of the season. Eastside Chris talking about LeBron James. James's last three teams, 4 years each, Miami, back to Cleveland, and now L.A. Where's his next deployment? I don't know. The rumors are that he wants to play with his son, Bronny. So would that be two more years? Is he going to last? Is he going to make it that long? LeBron's still good. Is he going to go somewhere where he thinks he can win a title? He's probably going to jump ship again. And then he's going to leave. See, I think the other thing for LeBron is he's going to leave the Lakers in shambles. I know you guys don't like Russell Westbrook. I always loved to hate Russell Westbrook. I thought he was good for the NBA because the fans love to get after him. I think fans take it too far, obviously. But he was still really, really good. He terrified me when he was with the Thunder, knowing the Nuggets had to go up against that guy. What was his team before LA? Was it Washington? And they ended up bouncing back and making a little bit of a run. Now he just looks, oof. See so many clips on the internet, though. you probably too. I probably look too deep into some of those, too deeply into those. But he'll be on the bench, and you can just see LeBron glaring at Russell Westbrook, like the pressure. Is LeBron easy to play with? I don't know. Some would say yes. Some would say no. Some in the NBA would tell you. Some players would actually, like Kyrie Irving was not a big LeBron James fan at all. And he's one of the top players in the league. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. We'll jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. And it's a crazy time in the sports world. And we got a lot of Colorado legends going on, legendary stuff going on. The Avs are rolling. The Nuggets are at least going to get in the playoffs, and we'll see what happens there. The Broncos are back, baby. And you know what? I am cautiously optimistic about the Rockies. Get those man caves going. Get the office rocking and rolling. I went into No Limit the other day. They have a sweet signed Nikola Jokic jersey. They got Nolan Arenado signed bats. They got cards galore. If you're in, I mean, a lot cards are booming right now, folks. You should talk to Ken. If you're thinking about getting into a collection, thinking about starting up the habit, maybe your family, maybe you did it as a kid. Now your kids are rolling in it. There's no better way to start than talking to the great folks over at No Limit Collectibles. They're in Greeley, West Greeley, right by Bill Cables, in that same little square there. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Again, I think this idea with Tad Boyle, and I didn't think we were going to be this deep into the Tad Boyle conversation, but it's a good conversation. What, look at the expectations in the Pac-12 compared to like the Mountain West. Like some people are, oh, well, bring in a young and up-and-comer to do what Tad's done. Like a Nico Medved type guy, Jeff Linder. The expectations are so crazy. Like Nico Medved. Hey, I tell you what, I love Nico. You know I do. He's going to have a test in 2 years. If David Roddy comes back next year, I do expect the Rams to go dancing again. And maybe they can get past the first round. But when David and Isaiah inevitably leave, which for sure will be after next year, the test will be, and I don't think anybody expects CSU to go 3 years in a row, especially when they lose everybody. They're going to give them those gap years, those year or two to build back up. That's just how it works. Now, Nico's test of greatness, and if he can do this, he's gone, is if the year after Roddy and Stevens get out of Dodge, if they can get back in without him and Medved just reloaded some more studs, then you got a guy. I mean, you already got a guy, but then you really have a guy. But that's a test. We, as CSU fans, are certainly capable. You should be, and if you're not, you're ridiculous, are capable of saying Medved gets a year or two to rebuild it before we start talking about pressure. With Tad Boyle, we don't go that far. You know, he misses it 2 years in a row, and it's, oh my goodness. Or he made it last year, and the pressure was still to get back on, even without McKinley Wright and some good players that left. Dixon says, average coach, average team. Tad is 8 games over .500 in the conference. Pac-12 is a tough conference, man, in basketball. Much different than it is football. But what's your alternative? You keep presenting all these bad things about Tad. What's your alternative? What's your solution? You want to hire a great? Well, they're already somewhere great. If you're expecting CU to be Kentucky or Duke or UNC, North Carolina, then you're wrong. It's just not built that way. Now, can you get there? Could CU ever get there? I'm not going to say no. But even like Moby Madness, the chances of building CSU and Wyoming and CU into a powerhouse is very tough. I don't know that that'll ever happen in our lifetime, really. And I want it to so badly, and I'm all for it. I want to see Moby full. I want to see Bank of Colorado Arena full. What is the Buffs Arena called now? Is it not the Coors Event Center anymore? What is it? Buffs Center? Dixon says, just not saying anybody else is better, just he's not that great. So we agree then on that side of it. You're not going anywhere. You might think that Tad's not the greatest coach. And here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm not sitting here saying he's Coach K. But for CU, Tad is as good a coach as you're going to get. And I think Tad's actually a pretty damn good coach. But that's where you are right now. I mean, if Nico Medved gets any better at CSU, he is gonzo. He'll be out the door. Tad loves his job. He would never leave if he starts to, if you know, 3 years in a row, he goes to the next. You know, CU's a good enough job. It's not the job. It's a really good job, though. And it's his dream job. But Tad's not going anywhere because you're not going to get any better. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm not handing out a pass. It's not in no way saying he's like, yeah, he needs to get into the tournament again. He needs to get past the first round. He needs to leave a better legacy. Yes, but I also say this, it's not, you're not going to get any better. What's your solution? You go to Jeff Linder kind of guy. And I think Jeff Linder's a good coach, but it's a completely different animal. And are your expectations going to be the same? If he comes, if a coach, and I'm just using Jeff Linder, I'm using a local example because that would be the only way. That would be the only replacement situation is you bring in a young and up and comer because you're not going to bring in an already well-established coach because they're already with a well-established place. You're going to have to bring in a young and up and comer. Dixon says if a 500 in conference average coach is what you want, then Tad is your guy. Again, you haven't presented me with any solutions. You are going to be in the tournament next year. I do think CU, Tad's expectations are to go dancing every year. But for CU, realistically, it's kind of like the Dick Monfort thing. Do you expect CU to go dancing every year? Or do you expect him to go in a five-year stint, too? That's what Dick Monfort said about playoffs for the Rockies. Hey, I expect us to go to the playoffs two out of every 5 years, which I don't like that mindset. I don't like him saying it. I believe him. I believe that's the case for the Rockies. I believe that's the case for most Major League Baseball teams that are not the major market teams. And then you look at CU, I think that to expect them to go dancing, let's just talk 5 years, to say 5 years in a row, your expectations are too high for CU. This state has a lot of basketball growing up to do. It is not a hotbed for, first off, in the state, it's not a hotbed of players. Second off, Colorado is not on the map. CSU is not on the map. CU is in the Pac-12, but they're not really on the map. So you have to have a guy that can recruit. I mean, again, think if you didn't have Tad Boyle, you could have a really bad situation here where CU is just an awful Pac-12 team. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 46 minutes after the hour. Dixon says the discussion is not really about finding a solution. That's for the school to figure out. But see, that's the thing. Like, as fans, we just get so mad and we rip apart. Oh, that's awful. You got to get rid of these guys. But then you don't have any solutions. That's why it's so hard. I will pound the table for Tad Boyle. Absolutely. You're not getting any better. There's no solution right now outside of the big, like, 10 guys. Other than that, I'm going to say, no, it doesn't make any sense. Is Nico Medved better than Tad Boyle? You cannot say that. Absolutely not. No, not right now. Is Nico on his way? I'm telling you, there's going to be a big test coming for Coach Medved in 2 years. Same with Jeff Linder. In 2 years, when they start losing their guys, can you retool? That's what the test is for a head coach. They just lost McKinley Wright. The Buffs lost McKinley Wright, one of their best players in the history last year. And he was, what, a game or two out of going dancing. I, again, overachieved. Can you not give him credit for taking a very young team with little experience, with not a lot of talent? Well, raw talent, I should say. You can't give him any credit there. It's all about the dance. That's all we're looking at is the dance. And I think that your expectations are silly. For you're probably the same guy that's voting on the Nuggets to win the second round of the playoffs. You expect the Nuggets to win the Western Conference Finals. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, and live from the Allo Communications Studios, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Just 51 minutes after the hour. Glad to be back with you here. We're almost done for the day here on a Wednesday. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Friday, we have a short show. We'll end at 1:30. We got Rockies and Dodgers back on KFKA. Cannot wait. And don't forget, man, we got a new show that's taking place each and every Thursday right after my program, 2 o'clock. Tanner Schwint and Jerry Schimmel, the former voice of the Colorado Rockies, will be bringing you Rockies Rundown. And a little birdie tells me that they may or may not have Bud Black or Bill Schmidt on tomorrow. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl might even stick around for some overtime after that. I mean, that's what a little birdie tells me. And again, that's that creepy little bird outside my office that's pecking on my window, so I don't know how reliable he is. But that show's great. I mean, you want to hear, I mean, I know Tanner's a big Rockies guy. Obviously, Jerry has so much insight to that organization. It's going to be a fun program. Looking forward to it tomorrow as they get you set for opening day for the Rocks. Are you getting a little more optimistic, Jades? I am. I still don't think they're a playoff team. But I do think you're going to see a much, I think the over, what was it, 68, 69, is that what it was? 70. I can go over 70 wins. I think it's going to be over 70 wins. I think the talent alone, you know, is going to be good. I saw the, is Russell Wilson throwing out the first pitch too? I just saw that. Yeah, it's kind of cool. How poetic is that? Because the Rockies drafted Russell Wilson, and then if he chose to play football, but he's going to throw that first pitch. That's pretty cool. That story continues to be really awesome, doesn't it? I mean, I still can't believe it. I'm still kind of in shock when I look up, you know, I'm on Twitter or whatever, and you see Russ is working out with Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton. It's like, wait, what's right? Gotta pinch myself, man. Absolutely awesome. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Some big stuff going on. Now, the Avs, the NHL season is going to be stretched out this month because of their pauses due to COVID and stuff. So they're going to be rolling through all of April. But the NBA playoffs, they start like next week, don't they? Denver has Memphis tomorrow, and then they take on the Lakers. Is that Saturday or Sunday to wrap up their final games of the season? And hope, I mean, assuming they lock up that sixth spot, they still could get in the fifth. They'll either be going up against Golden State or Dallas. There is a chance still that Minnesota could still sneak into that sixth spot and put the Nuggets in a play-in game, which kind of scares me. I mean, do not want to see that. I mean, listen, if the Nuggets are in, going up against Dallas or Golden State, here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to have about two games where Joker just goes into unbelievable mode, probably have to get 50 points. And there's going to be a win or two where, oh, wow, Aaron Gordon really stepped up and had a huge game. Or Bones Highland was nuts from the three-point line. You're going to have more of those stories because I don't think Joker, as good as I think he is and as obvious of an MVP as I think he is, I don't think that he can do it. I just don't think he can do it alone in a playoff series. There's going to be adjustments and scheming around him during a series. I always say this. You want your best basketball, watch an NBA playoff series. These guys figure each other out, and then it's on. Playoff series, find the best team every single time. Except for in the bubble, right, LeBron? That's going to do it for us when we be back at it Thursday. Opening day for baseball. Baseball made it. Missed a few games, but still got the season. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Stay tuned for Betting Across America, followed by The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Good night, Northern Colorado.